Psalm 23. A thousand times, over a thousand times, I read the word sheep or shepherd or something that it relates to that is mentioned in the Bible over a thousand times. And this relationship is very important to God. He used it not only in the Old Testament with Israel, but in the New Testament with John, in the book of John, chapter 10. He used that relationship. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And there was something real and something personal and dynamic about that relationship. And I believe they understood what that meant, the shepherd. And today we have an idea, we think we know what it means, because we have a dog, or because we have a cat. If you have a cat, you don't have any idea what it means. You know, we own dogs and cats own us, is what some people say. Anyway, we'll get off that hobby horse right there. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Now, we've covered that, and I've been reviewing each night up until this point, and it's getting to the point where our review takes as long as our message. So I'm just going to have to tell you to get the tapes, all right? Get the recordings and go over. There's some powerful truth here. And if you can imagine the description given of the shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." There was a description given, and here about midpoint in the book of Psalms here, 23, here the description begins to change from what might be considered that personal one-on-one contact with the shepherd during the winter season. But every year, a good shepherd will lead his flock out into the pastures of the mountains and into the high hills and into the grazing lands where the sheep during the summer can thrive and grow and multiply. And then they'll kind of do a circuit and work their way back towards winter as winter pushes them out of the high altitudes, pushes them back to a place of safety for the winter. And so if you can imagine now about verse 4, there the sheep are beginning this journey. They're beginning this this journey to the alpine meadows above the timberline. And this journey must be planned with the sheep in mind. This journey is necessary if we are to follow the good shepherd. Each year, a good shepherd will journey toward the distant summer range. And this often entails a long drive or drives of the cattle. And there's something about this mountain range and these fields that the Bible uses. Look at Jeremiah 50, verse 6 in your notes. The back of the bulletin, there's an outline, the prayer bulletin. But Jeremiah 56 says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. Ezekiel chapter 34 speaks of the children of Israel being led to the mountains of Israel as sheep being led to the mountains. There is something about the mountain range that a shepherd uses to feed his flock. Now, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But it's true in the Israel's time, and it's true even in North America. They would lead them into the mountain ranges for grazing. There were places in those mountain ranges. It would plateau, and there'd be just beautiful places to feed their sheep. But here the Bible says in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, this kind of gets most of the emphasis in Psalm 23. You normally read Psalm 23 at a funeral, and so it all kind of focuses right here in verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death. We find some solace there that it's just the shadow of death. And I've used the illustration of a dad who lost his wife, a dad whose wife had passed, and his kids have come and asked him, "When mom died, did it hurt? When mom died, did it hurt?" And he didn't know how to answer. And as he was driving to the funeral, a truck passed by, cast a shadow over him, and it just kind of hit him. The Lord gave him a thought, and he asked his daughter, he said, "Did you see that truck just drive by and that shadow fall on our car?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Did that hurt?" She said, "No." And he said, "Well, that's what it is for a Christian. It's just the shadow of death. We have everlasting life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is not an end. It's a door to a whole new beginning. It's not something that we have to fear if we have the Good Shepherd. And He's leading us, and He's walking us through this journey, this life journey. And He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now, I don't get maybe the description of the shadow of death and what that might entail. But there's a valley here, and the shepherd will use the valley, get this now, to get to the mountain. We travel to Tennessee, and we take 40 over to Tennessee to see my wife's family there. And as we're going through the mountains, I've learned that mountain pass is called the gorge. Anybody familiar with that term? You go through the gorge. And in essence, when we go through those mountains, we're not driving on the peak of the mountain ranges. We're not going straight up the mountain and straight down the mountain. Feels like it. But we're not. We're driving through the valley. But even in going through the valley, my ears pop. My ears will build up pressure. Even in the valley. Why? Because the valley will take you higher. And here, point number one, the valley is the gentlest grade to higher ground. It's the gentlest grade. Now, surely, you can try to climb straight up the mountain, but that wouldn't be good for some of your vehicles. That wouldn't be good for some of our nerves to go straight up a mountain and come straight down a mountain. It's hard enough on my wife doing the valley through the gorge. It's not my driving. Somebody needs to get right with the Lord down here. The Lord will lead us on a journey through the valleys to get to higher ground. We sang that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. That ought to be our desire as a Christian. We want to get closer and closer and closer to God each and every day. And it can be a real journey. And you can feel like, hey, I'm stuck in the valley. But understand something. It's in the valley that He can lead us to higher planes. I never thought of that. For the life of me, until I began to study and read, I never thought of the valley getting me higher. I always thought, well, we might have those mountaintop experiences every once in a while. You know what I'm talking about? You get up there, man, victory! Woo! Victory! This feels good! And then somebody comes by and says, well, it won't last long, brother. You enjoy it while you got it, because God sometimes will keep us down in the valley. Have you heard that before? I hear that. You know, and there's a song, and I got the words here, and I'll explain that later, but it's a song that kind of goes along with that. And we train our mind to say, you know, every once in a while we'll have mountaintop experience, or we'll have revival, but it's short-lived. Most of our time's down in the valley. Understand something. It's in the valley that He's leading us to higher ground. That place where we can be and receive the greatest provision and blessing, that which we need. Let me say that there are no shortcuts on the path of righteousness. There are no shortcuts on the path of righteousness. In Psalm 23 it says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hey, the Lord knows which path to take. And if we think we know more than God, shame on you. Who do you think you are? Somebody had a sermon and it had two points. Point number one is there is one God. Point number two is I'm not Him. That's powerful. There's one God, and I'm not Him. And there are no shortcuts on the path of righteousness. Sometimes we are going through the valley and we think, man, if I could just get up there, we want to just climb straight up. But we don't know what danger it might cause, what difficulty it might entail, and what exhaustion, fatigue, and ruin we might face if we try to take a shortcut on God. Hey, the evangelist talked about this, and it came up here in this. Hey, listen, we need to pay attention. God wants to tell us something. There's no shortcuts. Children of Israel were made to go the long way around to the promised land. They didn't cut straight through, take a beeline right to the promised land. They had to go the long way around. If you look at it on a map, Isaiah 40:11, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Hey, Mr. Ambitious, you want to get there quick? Remember, the good shepherd is leading gently. He understands the length of this journey and knows those that are also involved in this and will gently lead those that are with young. Sometimes we're only concerned about ourselves. Very selfish. We want to get there and we want to be blessed and we want it the easy life, and it's not always about us. God may be doing something in our life to help one of the young ones. I was never a very good academic student. I wasn't a bad one, but I wasn't a good one. And there were those students that, man, they didn't have to study. They got straight A's all the time. They were done. their lesson 10 minutes into, you know, quiet time, you know, where you start to do your work. I always had homework. That means I didn't finish during the time they gave, you know. I'm thankful that the teacher didn't go with the fastest kid. He allowed for the whole class to have enough time to get some of the work done and things. You know, God may be doing something in our church, may be doing something in your family, and it's not just about you. The gentlest grade to higher ground is through the valley. It's through the valley that there is the least exposure to the elements. Storms will come as fierce and dangerous surprise, and especially the higher you get. Now, we know this. In the mountain, they get more snow than we do here. The temperature drops quicker and higher elevations up there. We understand this. But if you're a shepherd and you're leading sheep, it becomes a reality. Those storms come over that mountain. You don't see them coming. They come over that mountain and it's a surprise. And if you are on the peak of that thing, you're wide open to all the winds and gales and hail and snow and whatever might come. You're exposed to it. But it's in the valley. It's in the valley that there is the least exposure to these fierce winds. There are certainly dangers all throughout, but they say that the predator will perch high in the mountains or high elevations to look down into the valley. The predator will be waiting higher up to look down. I don't know if that's any help. They're looking down so they can get down there when somebody comes through, but at least the shepherd has his sheep, the lowlands, and can guard over those sheep, protect them from the predators. If they're up in the mountain ranges and they're amongst the beasts, notice Ezekiel 34:5, and they were scattered. Because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after him. Do you picture Israel? Do you picture God's people just being going every which way, taking off this way and climbing this mountain and going this way and trying to get up that mountain, becoming prey, meat for the beasts of the field. Hey, there's strength in numbers. Amen. As a church, there's strength in numbers. And when somebody's going through some difficult times, we need to be together. In the valley. Least exposure to those surprises of the storms in life. And then number three. Number three is one we're very familiar with, but it's here. Number three, the richest resources are found in the valley. It's in the valley that you'll find food and water the easiest. Those streams are going to cut through the valleys. As they come down from the mountain peaks, they'll cut through the valleys. And so as the shepherd is taking them up to the mountain ranges and those pasture lands there, they're going in the valley where there's plenty of water and there's plenty of fertile soil and grazing along the way. It's there in the valley that they find the richest resources for food and water. And I gave some examples of men in the Bible. This isn't all exhaustive. Sure, we could give much more, but the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 had an issue he called a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet his body. He prayed three times that God would remove it, and God finally said no. And he told the Apostle Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. The Apostle Paul learned this truth, that that valley is where God could feed him, God could sustain him. Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus. He died. And when Jesus arrived, they said, Master, if you would have been here, you could have healed him. You could have saved him. The Lord reminds Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he said, I know. Mary said, I know we'll all live in the resurrection. She was missing what Jesus was saying. And when he goes to call Lazarus out of the grave and he says, remove the stone there. And they said, but he stinks. He's been in the grave over 3 days now. And he smells. And Jesus said, did I not say, if thou would believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? It was in that death. It was in that death experience that Mary and Martha and many others came to believe and see the glory of God. Peter denied Jesus three times. And he wept bitterly. But Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Feed my sheep. Peter had that valley experience. And it was there that God used Peter in a great way. And Moses ran into the wilderness. When Moses tried to kill the Egyptian, take matters into his own hands and free his people, he realized his plan wasn't going to work. He ran into the wilderness and he had to wait there until God says, all right, now it's time. After he had learned what it was to be a shepherd in the wilderness, he says, now I want you to go and set my people free. It was the valley that Moses was fed the grace, the strength, the power, and the wisdom of God. Jacob had his valley experience as he ran and connived and wrestled. And Jacob had a time in the valley, and God had to get a hold of him many a times. It's these valley experiences that God feeds us. Now get this. He feeds us as He leads us to higher ground. Don't forget, the valley is not a separating from God. God's on the mountain, we're down in the valley. Woe is me. Look at Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, say it with me, for thou art. The valley is not some place of punishment away from God. It's the place that God has chosen to lead us to higher ground, to lead us to that special place. Ultimately, it's going to be heaven for you and I, if you're saved, if you're born again. And He's picked the valley to lead us to that higher plane. And it's through the valleys that we're strengthened. It's throughout the Bible, this dynamic of opposites, if you want to call it that. The Bible says if you want to gain your life, you should lose it. If you want to lose your life, try to gain it. To die to self is to live for Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Bible says if we want to be lifted up, if we want God's blessing, we need to be low. Humble yourself, and God will lift you up. The way to victory is not fighting. It's surrender. Isn't that amazing? When we surrender to Jesus Christ, we have the victory. He didn't tell us to grab up our swords and our guns and to go to war. He said, surrender. Believe and trust. And it's this amazing twist here that the valley of the shadow of death is the place of God's choosing to lead us to higher ground. There's words to a song right here. And the song has, it's a good song. And I don't know about the theology. My theology, I understand what they're trying to say. But the song would go like this. When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. You see this? For the Lord knows I can't live on a mountain. Now, that's the way the songwriter wrote it. They have copyright on it, I guess. So I'm going to change it. Because I think the Lord wants us to live on a mountain. Caleb said, I want that mountain. God's promised me that mountain. I want that. And it's a picture of the faithfulness and the obedience to the Lord. He's got that chosen place for us. He has a mountain for Israel, the mountains of Israel, where He would provide for His people. So I put, for the Lord knows I must live on a mountain, but I don't know if that works as well. I like it better as I thought about it. For the Lord knows I must go to a mountain. I must go to a mountain. So He picked out a valley for me. I'm going to sing it, and we'll close tonight. Brother Timothy sings it much better than I and has a piano accompaniment. But I want you to think about this now. Think about what the Lord's doing in your life and what experiences you might have and what God means to you in those moments. All right, I need a little more volume here. When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. For the Lord knows I must go to a mountain, so He picked out a valley for me. He leads me beside still waters, somewhere in the valley below. He draws me aside to be tested and tried, but in the valley He restoreth my soul. It's dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines, and I question, Lord, why must this be? But He tells me there is strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trials for me. He leads me beside still waters, somewhere in the valley below. He draws me aside to be tested and tried, but in the valley He restoreth my soul. This world has it all wrong. You're going through a hard time, low in spirit, take a pill, drink this, go to this party, dance, listen to this song, cheer yourself. dance around, get out of it. But it's in the valley that He restores our soul. The world says we're not supposed to be down and lowly, and I'm not talking about depressed. When things get difficult, that's when the strength of the Lord is real. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd help us not to fear no evil. Lord, as we go through this journey of life, become afraid things aren't going to be what we thought they would be. We want to take shortcuts. We get scattered and run to and fro. We miss out on the riches that You've provided as You lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't need to be afraid of death. We don't need to be afraid of the valley if You're there with us. Lord, may we be Your sheep, following You as the shepherd, leading us to higher ground. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.